Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation is from our epistle lesson from Hebrews 11 and 12, specifically, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This is our text. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior, Hebrews 11:1, which starts out this whole section, says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And so faith is at the heart of what our church is all about. And it's not just a generic faith that you have in yourself or you have in mankind. It's a faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to be more specific, it is faith that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and that because he died, we have been forgiven of all of our sins, and therefore God has declared us righteous and worthy of eternal life. Hebrews 11 is all about the many Old Testament people who had faith that God would send a Messiah to save them from their sins. And much of that chapter deals with Abraham, as it should. I mean, here was a man who was called by God to leave his hometown and his family and to travel to a promised land that he would never take possession of. He would never own a single inch. He had no idea where he's going. And still, he followed God's command and he left. No maps, no GPS, just God to guide him. God also promised that he would have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as numerous as the sand on the seashore. God even changed Abram's name from Abram, which means exalted father, which was kind of a joke because he didn't have any kids, to Abraham, which means father of many. And yet, it took 20 years. For 20 years, Abraham and Sarah waited and waited and waited for God to keep his promise. They even took matters in their own hands, and Sarah gave Abraham her servant Hagar and had a child through her. But that was not God's plan. God's plan was for Abraham and Sarah to have a child. But eventually it did happen. And Isaac was born. And their dreams of having a child came true. But more importantly, their faith in God was solidified as God kept his promise of sending a child. But then we see in our text for today that God tests Abraham's faith by asking him to sacrifice his one and only son. God had made it very clear that it would be through Isaac that Abraham would truly be the father of many. Isaac was the child of promise. But still, Abraham and Isaac and a couple of servants took the 3-day journey to the mountain that would one day become the city of Jerusalem. And Abraham built an altar. And he put wood on that altar. And then it was time for him to tie up Isaac and put him on that altar as well, which Abraham did. And it's amazing that we get insight into what was going through Abraham's mind at the time in Hebrews that we get nowhere else in all of Scripture. In verse 19, the author of Hebrews writes, "He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead." And that's an incredible thought because it showed the great faith that Abraham had in God. Because at this point in Genesis, no one had ever been raised from the dead before. Every single person who had died stayed dead. It's not until Elijah, many, many years from now, that Elijah raises the son of the widow of Zarephath. And it's after that that people began to be raised every once in a while. So yeah, it showed the great faith that Abraham had in God. It showed the faith that Abraham had in God's promises to create a great nation through Isaac, even though God commanded Abraham to sacrifice his own son. But you know the story as well as I, that God intervened and he provided a ram for the sacrifice. But God learned that Abraham was willing to sacrifice his own son. Plus, it gave Abraham and all believers in God insight into how God was going to intervene in the world in sending his one and only son to be sacrificed on the cross for the forgiveness of all of our sins on that very same exact mountain. Next in our text, it talks about the faith of Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. But the real major person of faith who comes up next is Moses. And it really starts out by talking about the faith, not of Moses, but the faith of his parents. His parents who hid him for 3 months, not following the Pharaoh's orders to kill him after he was born, but hiding him and keeping him safe. But then it gets into Moses' faith when he's dealing with Pharaoh. You have to remember, however, that Moses would have been quite content dealing rather than Pharaoh, but with his father-in-law's sheep. You see, God called Moses through the burning bush while he was tending his father-in-law's sheep. And even though Moses saw that amazing sight, he came up with every excuse in the book not to serve God. But when God calls you, he calls you. Look through all of the Bible, and you will see that no one ever volunteers to serve God. They are called by God into service, even when they're reluctant. God calls them and makes them his servants, doing his work, proclaiming his message. And so, trusting in God, Moses performs all of those plagues, the last of which is the Passover, where the destroyer of the firstborn seeks to kill all of the firstborn. And the Israelites follow God's instructions through Moses. They kill their lambs at twilight, the lambs without blemish. They put the blood on the doorposts of their houses so that the destroyer would pass over them. But the Egyptians, well, they didn't know that. And so there was no blood on the doorposts. And the destroyer killed all the firstborn males of Egypt, both of man and of beasts, including Pharaoh's firstborn son. So the Egyptians let the Israelites leave and start their travels to the promised land. Can you imagine being there, walking through the Red Sea with huge piles of water on both sides of you? Can you imagine the faith that it would have taken to walk between those huge piles of water? I would have been worried that they would have come tumbling down at any minute. I guarantee that I would have gone through there and dashed through that Red Sea as quickly as possible. But our lesson says, by faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, they drowned. Hebrews 11 uses the phrase, by faith, 18 times. And it's summarized by the very first few verses of Hebrews chapter 12, where it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Read through the Bible, and you will see that we do indeed have a great cloud of witnesses. And you can look around our church. Look around our church this morning, and you will also see that we have our own very personal great cloud of witnesses sitting in the pews right next to you. The key, as Hebrews says, is to run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. How do we look to Jesus? Well, just as you're doing now. You come to worship. You receive the sacraments. We read the Bible. We go to Bible study. We bow our heads in prayer. That's how we look to Jesus. When we are doing those things, when we are about those things, we are looking to Jesus, who freely gives us the faith that we have. You know, I've been preaching about Hebrews, but I do love the way that God closes out that text from Jeremiah when he says, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? I love those words because it shows us that God's word does stuff. God's word is effective. It is like fire that consumes. It's like a hammer that breaks rock into pieces. I mean, this is the same God that said, let there be light, and had light appear without a sun or moon or stars. But that's how God works. When he says something, it happens. So look to Jesus. Will you, with your faith, move mountains? Probably not. Will you, with your faith, raise the dead? Probably not. But when you look to Jesus, whenever things happen in your life, you will be able to endure it. If we look to Jesus, our faith will just grow bigger and bigger. And the best part of our faith, even if it's small, if we just have faith in Jesus, the best part is we are going to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.